This perek continues to discuss different ways in which one can give either the market value or the fixed erech value of either himself or of somebody else. And the perek opens up with a case of somebody who says, ha'omer, one who says, mishkoli olai, I am accepting upon myself to donate my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. This is certainly a valid type of vow, and Nosa Mishkoloi, he is obligated to give his weight to the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, however, his weight in what material? So if he specified which type of material, for example, in Kesef, if he specified in his vow that he's going to give his weight in silver, then obviously Kesef, he's obligated to do so in silver, in Zohov. If he specified in his vow that he's going to give his weight in gold, then Zohov, he's obviously obligated to give it in gold. Now, this seems too obvious for the Mishnah to be telling that to us, and therefore the Gemara explains that this unnecessary line in the Mishnah is coming to teach a new ruling, and that is referring to somebody who does not actually specify in his vow what material he's going to give. He just says, I'm going to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. In such a case, the Gemara explains, based on this Mishnah, one is able to choose which material to give his weight in. As long as it is a material which is generally measured by weight, that is one of the ways in which people were to sell that material. They wouldn't sell it by number, but they would sell it by weight. Anything measured and sold by weight can be used to fulfill this vow, even if it is not worth very much at all. That having been said, the Mishnah is about to illustrate via a story an additional law and limitation to that. And that is referring to somebody who has a high status and is very wealthy. When such a person makes a vow to give their weight, then it is understood that that is a vow to give their weight in something according to their wealth. And indeed, Maisa Be'imashel Yirmatya, there was a story which occurred with the mother of Yirmatya, who was a very wealthy woman, She'omra, and she declared, Mishkal Biti Olai. I am accepting upon myself to give the weight of my daughter to the Beis HaMikdash, v'olsi Yerushalayim, and she went up to Yerushalayim in order to fulfill her vow, ushkaluha, and the Beis Din there weighed her, and based on their instructions, v'nosno mishkola zohov, she gave her weight to the Beis HaMikdash in gold, because that is what was fitting according to her wealth. Now what happens if somebody says, Mishkal Yodi Olai, I'm accepting upon myself to donate the weight of my hand, or in this case it refers to his arm. How are we supposed to evaluate the weight of one's arm? It's impossible to determine an exact weight of one's arm. You can't just put the person's arm on a scales or different weighing tool, because it would totally depend on how much pressure he places on that arm. So how are we to determine the weight of the arm alone, as being apart from the rest of the body, in order to determine how much that person needs to donate to the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Yehuda says, "Memalicho is ma'im." The first stage in the process is that we fill a barrel or a jug with water, umachnisa ad marpkaya, and then we place that person's arm into the container of water. The water went to the top of the barrel, right to the tip. And that person places their arm into the water, thereby displacing part of the water. It overflows out of the container, and the amount of water which is now missing from this container is the volume of that person's arm. So at least now we know the volume of the person's arm, although we don't yet know the weight. The next stage is that we add in a different material which we understand to be roughly the same weight as the person's arm, and once the jug will then be full to the top again by adding this other material into the container of water, material which is the same volume and roughly the same weight as the person's arm, if we know the weight of the material added in, that is going to be the weight of the person's arm. So a shekel b'sar chamor v'gidin v'atzomais, we weigh the flesh and the sinews and the bones of a donkey's arm, or of a donkey, because that is considered to be roughly the same weight as that of a human being, for a given volume, and we weigh it as we place it in, and v'nesen esochach d'smali, we place in those pieces of flesh and sinews, etc., all that which is contained within a person's arm, Achatismale until the container of water is once again full up, and the weight of the amount of the donkey's flesh and parts of its body which were placed in is going to be roughly the same as the weight of the person's arm. So it's true this is not going to obtain the exact precise weight of the person's arm, but that's impossible. And this is the closest we can get. How is it possible to be exact and make sure that there is the same amount of flesh, and the same amount of bones that you are placing in, that's exactly the same amount as in a human arm? It's impossible to be totally precise over here. So since anyway we're not going to end up with a precise measure, so there's no need to go through this whole process, rather, elo shomen esayad makamehi rolishkol. From the beginning, it's enough just to take an estimate how much we would evaluate the arm to weigh in relation to the rest of the body, and it's true that it might be slightly less precise, but since anyway we can't obtain a precise and exact measure, there's no need to do any more than a simple estimate from the start. Mishnah Beis, if somebody declares, Deme yodi olai, I'm accepting upon myself to donate the value of my hand or my arm to the Beis HaMikdash. He's referring to his market value, but not his full market value as a slave, but rather the market value only of his hand. Says the Mishnah, Shomin Oisoi, we evaluate him, Kamahu Shomin Bayad, how much he is worth as a slave if he was sold with his hand, V'chamahu Shomin Beloyod, and how much he would be worth if he was sold apart from his hand. Now it's important to note, we don't evaluate the difference between a slave who has a hand and a slave who is missing his hand. Because if a slave is totally missing his hand, he doesn't have a hand, so his value goes down very significantly. We're referring to somebody who has two hands, just that we're not including in the measurement of his value the value of one of his hands. So we measure the difference between a person who is sold fully as a slave to a person who is sold as a slave except for his hand, meaning he would only be able to do work for his master with one of his hands. The difference between those two values is going to be smaller. Now, this type of vow to donate the value of just one of the person's limbs doesn't actually exist in the concept of erchin. The Torah gives fixed values based on their age groups and genders for the value of a full person. We don't find such a concept if a person wants to donate the erech of just his hand. And indeed, if somebody were to say that, he wouldn't be obligated to give anything to the Beis HaMikdash. Zechem ben doim v'arachin. So this represents a stringency which exists regarding a vow to give the market value more than a vow to give the Erech. On the other hand, v'chem v'arachin v'andorim, where do we find a stringency that exists in the laws of Erechin, when one wants to give the Erech value? Where is that more stringent than when one makes a vow to give his market value? Hoimer, if one declares, Erki olai, I'm accepting upon myself to give my Erech to the Beis HaMikdash, Vomeis, and then he dies, and he dies after he went to a Kohen or a Beis Din, in order for them to say that he has to give the full Erech amount, or if he is a poor man, to give only that which he affords. But the Beis Din had not yet evaluated how much he is actually worth. But the truth is, they don't need to. When it comes to Erchin, it's very obvious. Depends on how old he is and the gender. No evaluation is necessary, and therefore, as soon as he appears in front of the Beis Din or a Kohen, his obligation sets in, and all of his possessions are now bound to fulfilling this vow. Such that if he dies, then his inheritors, Yitnu Ayorshin, his inheritors will need to give that amount of money, because the Beis HaMikdash has a right to that amount of money in this person's property. On the other hand, domai olai, if somebody declares that he's going to give his market value, even if he goes to the court, as long as they haven't yet made a full valuation of that person's value, vomeis, if he dies, then lo yitnu ayorshim. His inheritors don't need to give anything, because his obligation never fully set in to the extent that all of his possessions were bound to fulfilling that vow, since the evaluation didn't yet occur. So the amount they had to give wasn't yet defined, and therefore the obligation hadn't yet set in fully. Now the truth is, to be more exact, the obligation begins as soon as he says the vow. However, he is assumed to obligate himself and to accept upon himself to give the value which will be evaluated at the time of the evaluation. Whatever Beis Din will evaluate me as being worth at that time, That is how much I am accepting upon myself now to give. And therefore, if at the time that he is going to be evaluated is already dead, then he essentially accepted upon himself to give nothing. Shein dom la meisim, because a dead person doesn't have a market value, and as such, there is no value that was really included in his vow. As we mentioned before, there's no concept of erchin except for the value of a full person, and therefore if somebody says erich yodiv, erich ragli olai, I'm accepting upon myself to give the erich of my hand or the erich of my foot to the Beis HaMikdash, lo amar klom, he hasn't said anything and he would not be obligated to give anything. However, if he says erich reishi, I am accepting upon myself to give the erich of my head or the erich kvedi olai, the erech of my liver. In this case, noisen erech kuloi, he's obligated to give the erech of his entire value, meaning his full erech based on his gender and age. So we still see there's no concept of giving an erech only of a part of the body, but in certain cases, even though he only accepted upon himself to give the erech of part of his body, he's obligated to give his regular erech. What is this dependent upon? Says the Mishnah Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule, Dovashah Neshoma Tuluya Boy, the part of the body which a person's life is dependent upon, that without it he cannot survive, then by saying that he's going to give the erech of that part of his body is like saying he's going to give the erech of his entire self. Because his life is dependent upon that, and therefore noisen erech kuloi, he is obligated in such a case to give his full erech. Mishnah Gimel, if somebody accepts upon himself to give chatzi erki olai, I'm accepting upon myself to give half of my erech. He doesn't want to give the erech of half of himself, or a part of his body, which we saw in the previous Mishnah, there is no such thing. Rather, he wants to give half of his full erech. In that case, he would indeed be obligated to give half of his erech. However, if he says, erech chetzi olai, I want to give the erech of half of my body. So, half of his body certainly is something that his life is dependent upon, and therefore, noisen erech kuloi, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, he would be obligated to give the erech, his full erech, which the Torah defines based on his gender and age group. Now, what about the equivalent statement, but with regards to a regular vow to give his market value, not his erech, which is the amount fixed by the Torah based on his age group and his gender? If somebody says, chatzi domai olai, I am accepting upon myself to give half of my market value, then noisen chatzi domov. In that case, he's certainly obligated to give half of his market value. And if he says demei chetzi olai, I'm accepting upon myself to give the market value of half of myself. Although this unique law that if somebody says that he's going to give a part of his body, the eich of part of his body to the Beis HaMikdash, and we saw in the Mishnah that if his life is dependent upon that part of his body, then he's obligated to give the full erech. This is learned from Pesukim with regards to Erchin. However, based on those Pesukim, we compare the laws of Erchin to the laws of a regular vow to give one's market value. And therefore, even regarding a vow like this, to give the market value of half of himself, Noisin Demei Kulai, he would be obligated to give his full market value. And Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule. If he makes a vow to give even the market value of a part of the body that his life is dependent upon, noisin erech kuloi, and the truth is, in the Gemara, the wording of the Mishnah is different. It says noisin demei kuloi, he needs to give the market value of his entire self, because this law, which was taught with regards to erechin, based on Pesukim, is learnt even with regards to the laws of giving one's market value to the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Dalet, this Mishnah is really a continuation of that which we began seeing in Mishnah Beis. Ha'omer, one who declares, Erechi shel ploni olai, I'm accepting upon myself to donate the erech of a different person to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaNoideh v'HaNidor, even if both the one who made the vow and the subject of the erech, the one whose erech is being donated, if they both die, nevertheless, Yidnu Ayorshin, the inheritors of the one who made the vow, is obligated to give the Erech. And the reason for this is because we're talking about a case, like we mentioned in Mishnah Beis, that the one who made the vow already went in front of a Beis Din or a Kohen, and from that point onwards, the obligation is really set in. There's no need to do any real evaluation, because the Erech is simply based on his age and gender. And therefore, as soon as he has appeared in front of a beis din, a court, or a koyein, he becomes fully obligated in this vow, such that all his possessions are also bound to fulfilling this vow. So those who inherit the possessions will be obligated to give of those possessions towards the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, domov shel plonio alai, if somebody accepts upon himself to give the market value of somebody towards the Beis HaMikdash, so if meis hanoider, if the one who made the vow dies, yidnu ha-yorshim, the inheritors will still be obligated to give that donation to the Beis HaMikdash, since the obligation certainly sets in at the time that the vow is made. But what is the obligation? To give the amount that he is evaluated as being worth when Beis Din actually come to evaluate him. And therefore, if the subject of the Erech is still alive when the evaluation happens, Beis Din succeed in doing an evaluation, then it comes out that when he originally made the vow, he obligated himself to give that amount, and therefore Yitnu Yoshim, the inheritors, will also be obligated to do so. However, Meis HaNidor, if the subject of the Erech vow died before the evaluation took place, then Lo Yitnu Yoshim, the inheritors do not need to give anything, and in fact, even if the person who made the vow doesn't die, he himself wouldn't be obligated to give anything in this case, because the entire content of his obligation is to give the amount that the person is evaluated as being worth by Beis Din. If the person dies before the evaluation takes place, then the vow didn't obligate him in anything, and therefore even the person who made the vow himself would be exempt in a case where the subject of the vow dies before the evaluation takes place. And once again, this is only relevant regarding a vow to give the market value, but a vow to give the Erech, no evaluation is necessary, and therefore he would be obligated.